bringing it to you Dixie style. Ho, 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 Merry Christmas, Arizona. Touches of snow sprinkled throughout various locations of this great state. Always helps you accentuate the mood, doesn't it? We're here. It's Rosie on the House broadcasting for another 2 hours this Arizona gorgeous Saturday morning. You can give us a ring. We're here as a home improvement question and answer show. The number is 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-767-4348. Maybe there's a project you're even possibly trying to get done before Christmas and you need a little help with tricks of the trade or tips for tools, whatever it might be. You dial in that number. My wife, sweet Jennifer, will pick it up, get your name, where you're calling from, your question. We'll get you on air as quick as we can. And Romy, my co-host, and I will put our 50 years of combined carpentry, concrete, gardening, and building, remodeling experience together to try and answer your question while our broadcast engineer, Mike Reisch, daydreams about his South Dakota jackrabbits and hopefully performs a flawless engineering feat of Rosie on Now's broadcasting. Again, the number is 1-888-767-4348. We're going to talk about Romero family traditions, but we want to hear about you, the listeners' family traditions as well.
And if you do have one to share, you won't hear them all on air. Some are behind the scenes at the call screening station. You will be entered into a drawing if you wish. And at the end of the broadcast, we will pull a name out of that hat, and the winner will get two tickets to the ASU versus Lehigh men's basketball game tonight in Tempe.
Sounds like a good deal.
That might start a new tradition.
Have you heard how much it would cost you to buy all the gifts on the 12 days of Christmas?
You know, they do it every year. I stopped paying attention about 3 or 4 years ago because it was in the dollar figures that I'll never see.
You're not going to go this deep for Amanda?
Well, you, I would if I had the means.
Well, it's about 28 grand.
Oh, that's
about
it?
About 28 grand.
That's it.
To do it all.
I had it in mind. It was a lot more than that.
And what are we on right now? Let's see. It starts on the 14th or 12th. What are we, the fifth day right now? Sixth day? Something like that? Geese are laying. You can get geese for, apparently with inflation, geese have gone up from about $40 a piece to $60 a piece. So how do you buy a goose you know is a laying?
And that's very hard because goose only lay about an egg a year.
Oh, my goodness.
So, and you've actually passed that laying time in a lot of cases for the goose, because I know a couple people there, they boil theirs for Christmas.
Oh.
And they have it with their Christmas, buffet. So you would actually, that should have been the first day to make sure you got that egg. You may be the whole other year before you find out if it's a lay or not.
Geese a lay. Hey, one of the family traditions we always had at the Romero house growing up with our kids is when did you put up your Christmas tree? Jennifer and I would kind of push back and forth on this every single year, but I was always under the persuasion that the tree goes up right after the Thanksgiving dinner's cleared. You get the tree up so you can enjoy the mood of Christmas the maximum amount of time. And Jennifer was always a little leery about, boy, that means when I take the tree down the first or second week of January, I'm like getting poked and sticked by an extremely dry tree that's looking pretty sad. But I generally won that argument. We generally got that tree up right about Thanksgiving. And yes, it was always very dry by New Year's.
Well, I like this year. We actually were a little late, and the tree is still looking very nice. I like it to look at least nice through Christmas.
Smells good.
But I think the trees are actually moister this year from all the rain and stuff. We got ours in such good shape. So
noble fir. I like that.
Mm-hmm, they're beautiful.
And then there's a fairly new one that was coming out a couple of years ago that a lot of the lots had called a goldwater fir, and that was kind of a nice tree too. But I like the noble fir. I've always, Romy, who strings the lights on the Christmas tree?
Well, generally speaking, me.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of a default thing when you've got the longest wingspan.
Yeah.
You just kind of by default fall in that position.
Yeah. And as well at our house, I've always strung the lights until this year. I got the tree up. I went to the next room and Jennifer strung the lights. It's like, whoa.
Well, that's because I read on Pinterest, whoa, instead of going around and around the tree, you go up and down. You would not believe the difference it makes. But I told him that. I just was afraid he wouldn't listen to me. So I jumped in there and got it.
Wow.
Mercy, mercy.
All right. So when you're going up and down, obviously, let's just say you've got 10 lateral lines. When you get to the top and there's 10 lines together, that's a bunch. Do you start from the top, go to the bottom, and then when you come back, you only go halfway and then down and then up?
You know, I did not do that, and I noticed that there was more lights at the top, but it doesn't look bad. It just appears to be a lot more lights, and they're more interspersed. It's just cool looking.
Let's just say it's very bright underneath the angel skirt. Let's go to Donna, calling from Peoria with a home improvement question. We have a line open for you as well, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. What are you trying to get done this weekend before Christmas?
Well, good morning, Rosie. We're trying to solve a problem here. I've got an electrical problem going on. I'm not sure if it's us or if it's APS. They're going to come out today. Three or four days ago, my daughter and I were in the kitchen doing stuff. My husband was in the bedroom, and all of a sudden, our receiver to our TV went off, and the light attached to the ceiling fan came on. And I'm like, okay, we've got gremlins. You know, I just kind of laughed it off. I thought that was weird. Thought maybe we had a power surge. It's happened about 5 times now. And the last time was about 2:45 this morning. I woke up and the light was on. So I got up and I turned it off. And when my husband got up this morning, went in to turn on the TV, the receiver was just blaring full blast. And so this has happened about 4 or 5 times now. And my daughter's totally blind. I'm really kind of scared to leave her home alone for fear of a fire or something.
Well, you did the right thing by calling the utility company. This is highly peculiar. We've got to try and find the source of some kind of phantom voltage that's traveling through your home. We recently had this with another client that they actually had to APS kind of came to the plate, and they did every single thing they could to try and find out where the phantom voltage was coming from. And in fact, they fixed so many things that they weren't sure which one of the 3 or 4 or 5 things they did fixed it.
Okay.
But it did fix it. So you've got the right men on the job.
Okay.
And I would be very curious, Donna, if you would please, this voltage leak, phantom voltage leakage situation is something that's fairly new to me in about the last 5 or 6 years. And I've only got data on about 5 or 6 cases of it that I'm trying to identify some common denominator that we could use in analyzing the problem. So I would be very interested in you giving me any and all information you can once the APS guys or gals get there and do an assessment. Would you do that for me?
I would be very happy to. In the meantime, do you think that could be a pretty good-sized fire hazard?
Well, I'm going to tell you probably not.
Okay,
when was your home built?
I believe it was built in 92.
Yeah. That's recent enough that none of the insulation on the wirings has worn out. This isn't probably a gap in a connection somewhere. Is the fact that it's voluntarily coming on. We're having some voltage bleed through a switch somewhere.
Okay.
Probably it's electricity that's all going through its safe circuits, but just not when and how you want it to go.
Okay.
So. Again, you did the right thing. Let APS have full access to the entire property. Let them look it over. Document extensively what is and isn't going on. And quite frankly, with this other client that was experiencing the problem, it took about 3 or 4 APS engineers to put their heads together and say, well, let's try this, let's try that, let's try this. I'll tell you, electricity is one of the most, even electrical engineers have a hard time understanding or explaining how electricity works. It's going to be my first question when I cross over into the other world.
Explain electricity to me, Father.
Well, explain magnetism to me that holds the entire galaxy together. Because if you know how magnetism works, then you can figure out how electricity works.
And on the fire hazard, just a quick story. You would probably see other signs. You would probably smell some burning. You would probably see some black flashes. For an electrical spark to catch wood, a milled piece of wood on fire, I mean, just go out and try and burn one in a in your backyard in a pot. It takes a lot to get that thing finally going. But I was in Strawberry a couple weeks ago staying at a friend's house, and they came and woke us up. We were staying in the horse trailer and said, our wall is glowing orange. You've got to come look at this. And we went in and we shut the breakers off and everything. I said, you know, there's got to be something that pierced a wire. And sure enough, it took, what is it right now, 24? It took 22 years. This home was built in 92 for the nail originally sunk in the drywall that split out the side of the wood and pierced the Romex cable. It took 22 years for it to burn a hole through the insulation, and the entire inside of that wall cavity was black.
Woo, scary.
And it never caught on fire. So it takes a lot to get wood on fire from a regular voltage wire line.
All right, we're talking family traditions. Here's one from the Romeros. It's my mom, Baby Kay, reading The Cajun 12 Days Before Christmas. Now, y'all keep a sense of humor here, okay? It's funny, all right?
Dina, dear Boudreaux, what you trying to do, huh? Thibault had to borrow the lurch of ferry to carry them jumping twits you call lords a-leaping across the bayou. As soon as they got here, they wants a tea break with crumpets. I don't know what that means, but I says, well, la-dee-da. You're going to get chicory coffee or nothing. Mon Dieu, Emile, what I'm going to feed all those bozos? They're too snooty for fried nutria, and the cows don't eat my turnip green.